This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
It's that time of day when, no, we're not crossing live to Canberra. We're crossing up to Cairns to catch up with Daniel Whithouse. Unless, of course, you've moved on by now, but I know you were in Cairns last week. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning from Townsville, Doug.
Oh, you moved on to Townsville.
About 4 hours from Cairns, but certainly it was a big time for me in Cairns.
Yeah. You spent quite a while there, didn't you? And you haven't been too well, which is a pity, but you better now?
I certainly am, but I will recommend it if you are going to be laid low with various kind of things that make you unwell. You might as well be doing it kind of laid up in Cairns with fantastic weather and fantastic hosts.
Well, I can speak for Cairns weather. I love the place myself, but anyway. You stayed at our well-known gay resort up there, which I must say, despite having a property of my own not very far away, I've never visited either. This was your first visit there. How did you find it?
Yeah, look, I found that particular resort to be, I guess, in a state of change. Like, so when I arrived at the resort, there was, I guess, a lot of history to that. So I'd heard about this particular resort for the last kind of 14 or 15 years and always heard it was kind of some kind of gay paradise. Mm-hmm. That you could go to, and when I arrived, certainly it was a very big difference to places like Alice Springs and Mount Isa. All of a sudden I was surrounded by a lot of gay people, and there were drag shows, and I kind of, yeah, for a while there I kind of felt like I was on gay overdose after being in a kind of gay desert.
So. You've been topping up your gay tank, so to speak.
I certainly have, yes, yes.
But to the serious side of it now, Cairns, of course, is a very different proposition to some of the other places you've been to because it's a tourist town. It's a town which has lost most of one of its primary industries, which is built around sugar, for example. A lot of the cane fields around the place have gone. Even tourism's not been doing too well. How's the gay community faring up there?
Yeah, look, the older gay and lesbian community seems to be fairly constant in Cairns, and that's the impression I've got from the locals and the teachers and the health professionals is that people move up to Cairns for a lifestyle choice and usually for things like, the weather. And they tend to stay put. And I guess if you're looking at kind of how older folk are faring, it tends to be kind of fairly constant is the message that I've been getting.
This is similar to what you found elsewhere, wasn't it? There's a relatively strong community of older gay women and men who've basically made it somewhere else and then moved there, as you say, for a lifestyle change, and they're not doing too badly. But what about the kids? What about the younger ones? The people who are born gay locally?
Yeah, look, I had a couple of stories. Like, I went to the local school and spoke to some of the welfare staff there, and of course there was a story of a young man who went to the Year 12 camp and performed a Lady Gaga number with an entourage of young women behind him, and he's known to be kind of openly gay. There was an AFL kind of staff, a kind of Queensland. She was like a girl. She seems to be faring a lot worse because her personal style is a little bit more abrasive and aggressive, is what I've heard. So there's kind of mixed stories from the school. Mm. But in terms of speaking with local youth workers, young people aren't coming forward and coming out to kind of the local LGBT support groups, which is a concern. And then speaking with the kind of the new version of the Queensland AIDS Council, so that's the Queensland Association for Healthy Communities, what they're saying is that when they do talk with young people and workers and others who support those young people is that they're still finding similar stories to what they did kind of, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, in that it is still a hard slog and young people are feeling very isolated despite the fact that there is this kind of strong and, you know, often was described as relaxed gay and lesbian community.
Yeah, I mean, my impression of Cairns from several visits up there, although I must admit I haven't sort of delved into the gay scene particularly there, is that it's kind of, it takes me back to what things were like in the UK, maybe in the 70s or the 80s or sometime like that. It seems to be working on a very old pattern, and not a lot has changed on the ground since then.
I mean, it's interesting that you talk about change. I was talking to an Indigenous worker there, and he just said, look, what people don't realise is that Cairns has an incredibly different pace to most other places. And he said people come from obviously, you know, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane with big ideas about what they're going to do and what they're going to introduce for the local community, and that often that can be kind of, you know, big plans and doing that quite quickly. And he just said, look, the people here and the place and the pace is just so slow and it's completely different, and if you don't factor that in, you know, people will be pretty change averse. So I think that you're right about that lack of change over time, and you know, I guess in lots of ways that's suiting a lot of people, but whether or not that supports, you know, like young people who are kind of coming to terms with things, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, because I wondered, you know, Cairns has had a huge population influx over the last 5 or 6 years particularly, an enormous amount of building of new resort complexes and housing and so on and so forth. So I assume there's a lot of people moving in from elsewhere, over time I suppose that may well change the character of the place. But it is pretty sleepy, I have to say.
It is sleepy, but there's a lot of people building kind of these, like there's a lot of Caroline Springs type projects that are popping up in Cairns, so goodness knows what it will look like in 5 to 10 years.
Yes, I know, they're building one right next to where I've got my place with the lovely name of Argentia. Whatever that means.
Don't cry for me.
Well, not Argentina, but Argentina, you know. And yes. Well, they've decided Palm Cove has become so much of a resort that there's no town left. So they're building an artificial town next door. And the last two or three times I went up to Cairns, everything is in place. You know, the street lights, the roads, the rubbish bins by the side of the roads, and about five houses.
Yeah.
And nothing else, because
it just goes to show you can go anywhere in Australia and you can't escape the urban sprawl, which is kind of one of my take-home messages from my tour so far.
Yes, it is. Now, you spoke a fair bit about this guy called Roger that you met up with. That was kind of like a blast from the past in many respects for you, wasn't it?
Yes, I talk in my blog about the first time I fell in LGBT activist love, and it was the first time, I guess, as a kind of young gay baby going to a kind of LGBT health conference that I first saw a young man stand up, and he spoke with such eloquence and intelligence and confidence, and it was kind of the first time I had a young gay role model who had something to say and talked about, you know, his work in looking at the health and well-being of gay and bisexual young men, particularly in regional and rural Tasmania. Mm-hmm. And so for many years, I kind of would hear his name and about his work, and I'd kind of smile to myself. And I remember, you know, thinking to myself in 1998 that I wanted to be just like him. And if I could, you know, mimic, you know, his confidence and eloquence and intelligence, then maybe I can make a difference too. So to finally get a chance to meet him, because he's now residing in Port Douglas with his partner, was an absolute blast, to meet a blast from the past, and had a chance to talk to him one-on-one, which was wonderful to do.
He was obviously one of the people who's moved to that area from somewhere else.
He certainly has. I mean, he described it. He described moving just about to everywhere along the East Coast and never really finding a place where he felt kind of settled and comfortable. And certainly now he finds himself north of Port Douglas, and he's renovated a property, and he has dogs and chickens, and he's really found his own. But I mean, his story is one of he was very involved in lots of things with the reforms in Tasmania, and he says that still to this day he's never found community or that sense of community as he did when there were a whole group of people who were fighting for law reform in Tasmania. But he also said that he wasn't sure that he wanted that. You know, he really wanted to engage with community, that he was kind of happy, kind of, you know, dropping out for a while north of Port Douglas. So, and if you're going to drop out, I mean certainly that's a
there are worse places to do it.
Yeah, it's a story where that people do go to these places to drop out in lots of ways, and they kind of get their needs met in lots of other ways.
Yeah. Now let's look at one other thing I wanted to mention. I saw on your blog again, you talked about Paul. He said Cairns offers a tolerant climate, probably because there's a high volume of tourists moving through. But he also mentioned there's a huge mix of Torres Strait Islanders, Cook Islanders, Indigenous people, New Guineans. Is there a strong in sort of Indigenous etc. gay community there? Are they part of the mainstream gay community, if I can call it that?
Speaking with the local kind of Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander worker, it was that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kind of LGBT people aren't really a part of the gay and lesbian community up in Cairns.
As they are not generally anywhere. Because we do have this kind of racial divide, don't we?
Yeah, so certainly what he was talking about is that they would be kind of operating in different spaces, and they certainly wouldn't be down
wouldn't see them at Turtle Cove.
You certainly wouldn't see them at Turtle Cove, and I mean, what happens is that Cairns is similar to a lot of other places in that they have a bar that gets up for about 12 months and it folds, and another bar gets up, and certainly the thought was that they're not turning up at those bars very often, and that they're finding other ways to meet and congregate and things like that, which is, you know, again, something that you know, like, I guess, you know, the older kind of Caucasian gay and lesbian community is finding too, that they're doing things more informally, and it's not necessarily a formal way of getting together and hanging out.
Well, that too is a very old-fashioned thing, along with the fact that there seems to be a strong beat sex culture up there too. That's another thing that I remember very much from the older days in the UK, particularly in the regional cities.
Yeah, certainly. If you're talking far north Queensland, they're certainly talking about how there's a very, very strong beat culture up this way. So, and certainly now that I'm in Townsville, and the discussions that I've been having with people now that I'm here is that that's even more so. And interestingly, I'll do a little bit of a compare and contrast next week between a high tourist town like Cairns, and then 4 hours down the road, you've got a kind of industry and army dominated town. Mm. And what that means for people who are out or not, and I guess beat sex culture.
And what does that mean for HIV prevention and STIs generally? I mean, I would think that would make it a little more difficult to sort of manage that situation.
Yeah, well, because I think that what people seem to be saying is that, you know, in somewhere like Cairns, there's a higher than average number of HIV positive men. Mm-hmm. Who are living in Cairns, and I think that what people are saying is that they, if there aren't more formal or organised ways, for men to meet, then people are kind of wondering what that means for safer sex messages and the uptake of safer sex, and certainly that's something that they were stressing, like all the youth workers and other health professionals were really stressing that's something that they talk about very insistently with young people when they do work with them, and just letting them know that's, you know, obviously key and a priority.
Yeah, it's a worry, really. And I suppose the school culture must be a bit tough on gay kids as well up there, because, I mean, from what I saw of the school culture there, very, you know, through people I know who've got children in school up there, it's that a lot of the schools seem to be fairly rough anyway.
Yeah, and certainly that's what you can find. I mean, Cairns is no different to Broome, for example, where they found a similar thing, is that you've got this thing that it can be kind of a gay holiday paradise, but for people on the ground who live there week in, week out, it can be pretty kind of rough and monotonous in terms of the culture.
Mm. Did you manage to connect up with any of the local schools?
Yeah, well, I spoke to one local school, but admittedly, they were kind of like, I think they were kind of like the high school in Glee, in that they kind of take on kind of the talented kids in the area who are, you know, performing in arts or you know, in music, in sport. And so what they were saying is that they kind of select student entry, which means that they may or may not have a high proportion of LGBT students who are there, but what they were saying is that it's a fairly tolerant atmosphere for particular students if they got along and if they were talented and could do great Lady Gaga numbers. However,
always so, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was always so. And then, but the other thing is that I guess the school administration has been wanting them to be hush hush in that support of the issue. So they're kind of like, look, these kids are here, and it's great that they're there, but, you know, can we not do kind of some formalised support? And if they are supported, can we make sure that that's done outside the school, and let's not do that here?
I've got to break in on you here, Daniel. Twitter is just coming alive here, saying that Kevin Rudd has stood down. There will be no ballot, and Julia is going to get the prime ministership. There's no confirmation yet, but it's coming in on Twitter from several sources. So it looks like we've got a new prime minister.
Yes. and I crossed paths with her in Alice Springs. I kind of saw her from afar when she was opening up an Indigenous kind of education centre. So maybe I should have been a little bit more energised in kind of, you know, saying go Julia or something.
Well, fingers crossed. I don't know if it'd make that much difference. We're going to find out later in the program whether it's going to make much difference for us as a community, the GLBTI community. No doubt lots of people will have lots of thoughts on that. Daniel, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
We'll catch up with you with your stories of Townsville next week. And you, as I say, you are sort of on the home stretch really now, aren't you? You're over the hump.
Next week is halfway, and there will be a celebration in Brisbane, I can tell you.
You almost make me want to fly up there. Okay, thanks, Daniel.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.